we serve an awesome God. See, He told us these things in His Word, didn't He? He covers it pretty good. His Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife, his children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him. Now then, when you fall down and worship the king, should we all, as children of God, be willing to fall on our knees and worship the king at any time? Should we? Absolutely. You should not be ashamed of your king. I mean, even when you go in a restaurant, you ought to pray over your food out loud. You don't be ashamed of Jesus. You know, talk about him, tell people about him, worship him and praise him and thank him. But this man did this. He fell down and he worshiped, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay you all. Well, let's see what the Lord said after he worshiped him. Verse 27 and 28. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Is he moved upon us when we confess our sin? Yes, he is. He's a loving, kind God. Praise the King. And he's loosed him and forgave him that debt. I mean, just think. This man owed $3.8 billion. And when he knelt down and worshiped him, he forgave him the whole debt. Would you like to have a debt like that forgiven? Woo, boy, would I. If I had one, I wouldn't want to have a debt like that. But if I had one that big and somebody said, I'm going to wipe it out, that would be great. And I wish it would be nice if they just tell me, we're going to wipe out your utility debt the rest of your life. I'm telling you, when I pay especially in the summertime for this building, because we only run these air conditioners when y'all are here. These 2 5-tons out here and this 3-ton on the back corner, 13 tons of air conditioners in this building. But with all the air conditionings in the minister center and everywhere else, it's real easy for my electric bill alone to be $1,500 a month on this place in the summertime. That's pretty high, you know that? I'd hate to have to do this every day, all day long. I only do this on Sunday and one Saturday a month. And therefore, all these, well, of course, the air conditioners in the minister center we run all the time. And there's 3 more of those. But it says, but that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Now, that's about $3,000 today. So when we compare the $3.8 billion to $3,000, there's no comparison, is there? So it says, owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that you owe me. Now, this man has just been forgiven this tremendous debt. Did the king take him by the throat and shake him? No, he just forgave him. Now, here this guy goes out and finds a brother that he owes $3,000, you know, and grabs him by the neck and shakes him. Let's see what happens after he does this. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And the man says he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. What a real buddy, huh? I mean, we've been forgiven this humongous debt. What is this really a picture of? This is of the Lord forgiving mine and your sins for our wicked debt, isn't it, Jim? Yeah, and our sins were many, weren't they? And he washed us and cleaned us and he paid the debt for it. He paid the price for your sin so you could be free today. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison. Let's see what verse 31 and 32 says. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O you wicked servant. Now, isn't that amazing? Here's a son of God. And when he broke God's rules, what did God call him? Wicked. O you wicked servant. Do you want the king to call you wicked? Ooh, I don't want him to call me wicked, I'll tell you for sure. You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me or just asked me. I just forgave. And when we come to the Lord and ask him, Lord, forgive me for all my past sins, will he do that? Yes, he does. He really does. Let's see what verse 33 and 34 says. Shouldest not you also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was wroth or angry and delivered him to the tormentors. Now, when the Lord gets mad and he delivers you to the tormentors, Jack, you don't even want to think about that, do you? Is there anybody in here in their right mind would want God to turn you over to the tormentor? I don't believe I want to go there. I mean, you know, I wouldn't be too upset if you got mad at me and beat me to a pulp or something like that. But if God turns me over to the devil, every time I think about that, I think about that little, what was his name, Weiss? Anybody ever heard of that boy named Weiss that went to prison, went to hell? What was his name?
Bill Weiss.
Bill Weiss. Yeah, thank you, sir. Little Bill Weiss, he died and God sent him to hell. And he said when he landed in his place, he was in some kind of a barred prison looking thing. And said this giant ghastly being about 14 feet tall walked into his room, opened his big gate, and reached down and grabbed him with those claws, ripped him things right into his body, squeezed into his body, picked him up, and throwed him against the wall like he was a rag doll. He said, it's like every bone in my body broke. He said, I was in excruciating pain. And he said, then this beast come over, picked me up, and did it again. Now, would you like to go to hell? Would you like to be turned over to those tormentors? No, I don't want to be turned over to those tormentors either. But he says, and the Lord was angry and he delivered him to the tormentors. I think he was angry with Schwarzenegger that day and the bunch out in California. But I think he's been angry with a lot of us. I think that the devastating things that's come upon America, I think about whenever they had the Decadence Day in New Orleans a few years ago. And they was going to have it that next Saturday. And God was angry. And of course, that same time, they were going to have the Decadence Day when Bush made the decision to split Israel. And God sent Katrina. And he wiped out. In fact, there was a prophet that day that was down there when they were talking about that. That prophet, he just jumped up and said, thus saith the Lord. He is fed up with this nonsense. He's going to bring destruction upon New Orleans. There's going to be death and stench. There's going to be water and there's going to be bodies floating on the water. And it's coming soon to New Orleans. And I think it was 10 or 12 days later after he made that bold statement on television that Katrina hit New Orleans. Some people, they look at it and say, you know, that guy don't know what he's talking about. Well, that obviously knew what he was talking about because it happened. Does God really have prophets today? Oh, yeah, he has them. I mean, if you happen to be raised up in a church like I was that doesn't accept the first two apostles and prophets, we left them out. Now, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, we're okay with them. But apostles and prophets, we don't believe in them. And in the Baptist church, we don't teach about them. They're not there. But God's word says they're all there. You know, so, and in some churches today don't believe nothing, I don't think. You know, it just amazes me if God says do it, and especially the other day whenever they're talking about some of these big mainline churches now that are talking about putting in homosexuals as deacons and pastors. I mean, I could not be a member of an organization like that. Since I know God hates those things. But it says, and his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now, first of all, who turned him over to the devil? The Lord. Somebody said, God, he's a loving, kind God. He would never do nothing like that. Did he say in his word he will? Do you believe he'll do what the word says? I know he'll do what the word says. Now then, let's see what verse 35 says. And Jesus is still talking to Peter. He says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So do you think it's extremely important we forgive everybody? Well then why in the world do you have people in the church that hold grudges? They obviously don't know this, do they, Brother Jim? I mean, if you don't know this, it's real easy to get angry if somebody does something to you, isn't it? Yeah, it's real easy. But when you find out that you're not doing any damage to them at all, but you're opening a door for the tormentor to come into your life, it's real easy to forgive them, isn't it? Yeah, heard that girl over there? Yeah, I forgive her. I ain't going to hold no grudges knowing God is going to send that tormenting spirit. In fact, here a while back at one of the healing schools, we had a lady, and she was sitting right up here on the front, and she may be here today, I don't know, but she had a problem with her shoulder and all this, and as I'm teaching these things, she said, "Oh, Lord, I have an unforgiveness toward my sister-in-law." And she wrote down right there, "I so-and-so forgive my sister-in-law from my heart. God, I promise to love her in Jesus' name." And the minute she wrote that down, she screamed. She was sitting right here where you are. And when she screamed, I walked and said, "Ma'am, something wrong with you?" She said, "I just been healed." I said, "What happened?" She said, "I had excruciating pain in my shoulder and my neck and all down through my breast and all this stuff. And when you were talking about unforgiveness, I knew I had an unforgiveness toward my sister-in-law. And so I just wrote it down. God, I forgive so-and-so from my heart." And the minute she wrote that down, who do you think was watching over her shoulder? You think the king might have been there watching her write that down? Isn't that amazing how he knows everything? How he can be over here with her as if she and him is the only two in this building, right? That's how God is. And she got healed sitting right there. It's amazing what God does. He knows and he wants to forgive us and he wants to heal us. He wants us to walk in love. Now then, let's go here. I've got a couple more places I want to go. I want to show you some of the reasons so many young men are sick and afflicted and die early. And I want to take you to Proverbs chapter 7. We're going to go through all 27 verses in Proverbs chapter 7. And you'll see why so many, especially young men, die early today. It's in Proverbs chapter 7. Now, this is talking about love, but this is the wrong kind of love. And this kind of love, we translate it something besides love. "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with you." The best advice you can give a young man anytime after he reaches about 5 or 6, when he starts getting to where he can read, is, "Son, let me read the Word of God to you every day of your life." I started reading the Bible to my children when my son was 2 and my daughter was 1 month old. I started reading the Word of God to those kids every night at home. And it's the best investment any man could ever make. Read.
We are going to stop for today, but we will continue with the teaching tomorrow. If you would like to have this or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching in its entirety on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.